where you lived,
I
what
was
country
born,
it was.
I was born in Egypt. That's Egypt.
And
but
what country was it?
Russia. Egypt.
Can you spell the name? Do you have any idea how to spell it?
Say
it slowly for me.
Vichebsk.
Vichebsk.
Yes. By the way, the great painter comes from Vichebsk.
Chagall. Chagall came from near there, didn't he?
By the way, he was with me in the army. I'm not. I was in the army in artillery, and if I'm not. Maybe I'm mistaken. It was a boyfriend named Chagall. He was a painter.
So it's very possible.
It's possible to see him because we have the same age.
Then it's
I may be 2 years old and I read the paper.
That's right.
Possible, I don't know.
All right, was that a little town? Was it a dorf?
No, a big town.
A large
town? I lived in about 100,000.
Oh.
That's a big town.
Oh, really?
The Vichebsk Gubernia, you see, that was a Gubernia.
Well, let me ask you this then, Mr. Morrison. What kind of house did you live in? Was it a house in a city on a regular street?
Yeah.
Not a little, it wasn't a little farmhouse
no,
or
no.
A door in a door.
No, no. My mother had a store, so we lived in a town. Vichebsk is a town.
All right. Well, I'd like to know something about your family. Did you have brothers and sisters
oh,
who lived with you?
I had two brothers.
Sisters?
And I had three sisters.
Now, were your brothers older than you or younger?
One is older and he's older. And one is younger.
And your sisters?
My sisters. Only one is in the United States and she lives in Albany, New York.
But are they all three living?
No, brother than I don't know. No, I don't think they are. They are
one sister is living.
One sister is in the United States and the others. I mean, in fact, she went in an old age home. She's older than me. And,
were all three girls older than you?
No, two boys, and one of them was younger, and she's in Russia, so
and you know of only one who is still alive
yeah.
in the United States.
Yeah.
Did your father and mother live in the same house?
Yeah.
You lived as a family then with six children in the home,
mm-hmm.
three boys, three girls.
Well, there is, three boys and three girls.
Now, let me ask you, what kind of work did you do in Russia?
But he was considered immediately isolated with Dudley because he's one of the poorest.
I
he was
see.
Considered.
Yeah. All right. Can you tell me what kind of work you did in Russia?
I started work when I was 13 years old as an iron worker in a blacksmith.
How old were you when you started to work?
I said 13 years
old. Imagine, and what had your father, what was his work?
My father was going over and buying cattle in the village just to sell it to the butchers.
But you started to work when you were 13. Were you an apprentice?
Or you don't have a apprentice. No, they call it an apprentice, yeah. I started working when I was 13 years old. And you go there 3 years, you work for nothing, 3 years, then you are on your own.
I see, and after that...
I worked for somebody else.
Can I ask you, Mr. Morrison, what language was spoken in your home? Was it Yiddish?
Yiddish.
Not Russian?
No. Said it was the culture Tash, a that means only Jews. There was some Christian, but the Jews couldn't live everywhere.
Of course. And you lived in the Jewish section of the town. There we would have called it a ghetto.
It was always Jewish. By the way, ghetto is a very unreal name for those guys. I'll tell you, if they call ghetto, if they move into a section, chase everybody out, the same thing if somebody kills his parents or say he's an orphan, that's not the right name.
You're quite right. But you lived in the section of the town where all the Jews lived.
All the Jews.
Now, Mr. Morrison, what kind of education, what kind of schooling did you have before you began to work?
I'll tell you, when I was 13 years old, I couldn't get the same money.
You had had no schooling at all?
Hebrew.
Only Hebrew.
But they don't teach you writing.
But you didn't learn how to write?
No. By the way, I was a yeshiva.
Well, how could you have become a yeshiva booker if you were a blacksmith?
Wait a minute. I was going at night to the yeshiva. They formed a group that they called Tiferes Bachurim. Tiferes meant the beauty of boys. And I was there. I used to work in daytime and got to shoe.
It wasn't a cheder then?
No. A cheder, I don't have to 13 years of cheder. You start there in cheder at 6 years old and go to 13.
And then at 13,
I
you left to go to work.
Yeah, on that night I used to go to be in the ship.
And actually, the night school was a yeshiva.
He called night school. It's in a shul. It wasn't formally like at the ship. He had many yeshiva programs.
How long did you go to this yeshiva?
2 years.
So that in addition to your schooling from 6 to 13 in the cheder, you have 2 more years of education in the yeshiva.
I don't know if you can call it education.
Well, it was a school.
Yeah, but I was very religious. My father was a religious dude. He didn't look to me religious. But this,
let me ask you this then, Mr. Morrison. What was your synagogue like? I take it that you must have gone to a shul.
Shul, yes, synagogue.
What was it like? Was it large?
Large, yeah.
Of course, it was Orthodox. There wasn't any other kind.
No, there no, no. There was in town, but very, I believe it was wrong in the whole Egypt. Because maybe about 50 the other kind.
What other kind would that be?
Orthodox. See, I mean, about 50 Orthodox, I imagine, and only one was a Reformed school, or a Reformed school.
Well, that was before the days, really, of Reformed Judaism. But would you say they were not strictly Orthodox?
The others was not strictly Orthodox.
But your synagogue was?
It was absolutely
Orthodox. Did you and your family go there regularly?
The family, only father.
Only your father went to the shul?
Only my father and me. See, my brother was too young when I didn't, when I left home. I left home when I was about 18 years old.
I see. But during the time that you were a young boy at home, did you go to the regularly with your father?
Yes.
Did the other members of your family
No,
go?
The women didn't go.
The women did not go to
When I had an older brother, he wasn't home. He was a stepbrother, and he wasn't home.
And the girls and your mother didn't go at all?
Only in Kippur, maybe.
Only on the high holy days.
Holy
days. They would go to shul.
Yeah.
But they didn't go regularly.
No, they don't go.
Well, Mr. Morrison, did you have a regular rabbi in your synagogue?
yet very well known rabbi. Was my rabbi.
Okay.
Well, here is a story how I got away. I was so religious when I used to come here. I used to start to come here. Oh, they was going in the shop and they used to drive me to the shop. The man who I went to learn my trade was my uncle. And there was down to the same to school. And one of the boys was one time when he was in Pennsylvania, and he was the boss's son. And he stopped him. But whenever I was doing this, he talked to me. He was an educated boy. He was about 7 years old. When he asked me, he said, your religion is okay, but do you believe the earth is flat? I said, positively. That's what you would do. He said, what would you say if I tell you the earth is flat? I believe it goes 100 million miles in an hour. And it would stop the sun, the grace stop the sun and give him, and the one of them would come on, and get two of all the houses. I said, I don't believe that. He said, I'll tell you what I do. My rabbi was a well-known educated man beside me. He said, go and ask him. When I came that night to the shul, I wondered if the rabbi said, how about it? I told him I want to talk to him. He said, talk. I said, whatever I want to ask him, I'm private. He said, there is no private. Talk. So, but at least he came over again. And I asked him that. See, according to the Jewish law, you're not to ask this to the Jewish. He said, you know that you are not allowed to ask questions? I said, no, but I want to know whether I'm right. He said, you're a shege, it's a risky one. He threw me out.
Tell me, Mr. Morrison, that all the Jews, as they did every place there in the Russian tale, lived in their own part of any city.
Yeah.
But how did you get along with the non-Jewish people in your city, with the Goyim in
not
your community?
Too bad. Not too bad.
Did you have much to do with them?
No, we didn't. See, we didn't mix with them because we was always between ourselves.
All right. Did you do business with them?
No, see, my mother had a store. She used to sell goods to musicians, to farmers. But you see, they used to come in the daytime and go away at night. But in the city itself, we usually had Jewish boys. We didn't have any to meet. Besides, I couldn't speak Russian anyway.
So that you couldn't communicate with them. And you saw very little of them at all.
Very little. The only thing that I started to write, I said, son, because a few girls worked in the shop. In fact, the most of them were Jews anyway, but there was a few girls.
I see. At that time, when you were a young boy and a very young man, did you belong to any political organizations of any kind? For instance, were you a Zionist?
That I was a socialist.
You belonged to a labor union.
Yeah. I did.
Tell me about that.
All right. See, when I quit that, I joined the Socialist Party. And by the way, when I was 18 years old, I was a leader of one of the groups.
Of a socialist group?
Yeah, that is Bund.
A Bund.
Yeah.
And were there many young people who belonged to those organizations?
Yeah.
You were active.
I was active.
Politically.
Mm-hmm.
Was your father at all interested in that sort of thing?
Well, he was listening the other way around, and we find out I had to get up and go there.
He objected to it. Now, I'm going to ask you if you knew at that time, as young as you were, how the government there felt about the Jews in your country.
I knew. explain it in that was the Socialist Party was about. They were protesting against the lawlessness we had.
But the government itself, what was their attitude toward the Jews?
Usually not good. But it depends on the single person. Some was anti-Semite, some was not. Russian are good people. Very good people.
I'm sure of that. But the government?
The government was inclined towards anti-Semite.
Now, during that time, did you think about America at all?
No.
You didn't think of it.
In fact, my going to America was an accident which we left.
Right, why did you leave the country?
Oh, we had jumped in over already. I went to the army. I was in the Russian army. I wanted to be an ambassador in that. Then I went to the Russian army.
How long were you in the army?
3 years. In artillery.
Well, how old were you when you went into the army?
21. When I came out, I was 24.
And what did that have to do with your leaving the country?
Oh, yeah. See, after I came back from the army, if you want to make money as in my line, you have to go to some other city. Our town wasn't much. So you have to get a diploma as a mechanic.
Yes.
So I went to Odessa, which there you could get the diploma. And in Odessa, I met my wife, and we got married. And it was not much future in what to find out in the bed, so I opened a store in Odessa.
What kind of store?
It was a delicatessen store. You see, my mother had a store, and my mother had a store. My mother had a good. But then, before the war broke out, the first World War,
yes.
I was in Israel, and we used to take everything in Israel. And we find out about the war going to be, so if it was black, I couldn't go away. So before it broke out, the war broke out, I came in 1940 to the United States. And by the way, as much as I know, the ship that I came from Germany never came back. Because it was the war broke out.
Because of the war.
War, yeah.
But you actually left the country so that you wouldn't be called up again to do army service.
And I wouldn't be alive if they would, because...
I'm sure. Now, why did you decide on the United States?
Because everybody in Europe, there is no... It was not... Nobody even thought about that. The only place... See, my wife had a sister here. And it's in Chuska.
So you had a definite place you were going to come to when you came to the United States. What place were you going to come to?
In
the United States.
New York. I did come to New York.
And that was because your mother's sister lived in New York.
No, my wife's.
Your wife's sister lived in New York. Did you come just the two of you, Mr. Morris?
No, I came myself.
Oh, you came all by yourself?
Yeah, my wife was pregnant.
Did you come with a group or all alone?
By myself, no. I came legally.
You came
legally.
You didn't travel with any other people.
You
came all by yourself.
Yes.
Your wife was pregnant.
And she was taking
and
stayed
in Russia for 8 years. Now, so how did you travel, Mr. Morrison? You came by ship.
Ship.
Through
Germany. Through
President Bush came to the States, Mr. Morrison, did anybody meet you here? Was there any person who met you, or did an organization in the United States?
No, that time they didn't have anything.
Well, I'm sure you came like to Ellis Island, that's there, but it was then Castle Garden.
Yeah. By the way, Alexander Harkovy was my the one who worked that time. In fact, I have a letter from him.
Is that so? But nobody met you.
No.
No, there were no relatives.
No, my brother and my sister-in-law didn't come because she had a family and she couldn't come. I knew where I was going, and I went to
the I see. Now, what did you bring along with you to the United States? Were there any particular things that you brought along, any papers or anything that you valued?
There was nothing to bring along.
You just brought your clothes, nothing else. Now, Mr. Morrison, was your name in Europe the same as the name you now have? What was it?
Meyerson,
M-E-Y-E-R?
Yeah.
And why did you change it?
I didn't hear what happened. My brother in New York, my oldest brother lived in New York. And he marked his name Meyerson. The way I am, Morrison. So I copied this, and I didn't know it was son Meyerson or Morrison or anything. I copied it.
Morrison, what was the first thing that impressed you when you came to the United States?
I was blessed. Nothing impressed me. The only thing impressed me that he was worse than in my own home. I was considered a very good mechanic. I had a cousin the man I learned my trade with, his son, he was a foreman in a shop. And I was sure I'd go to him and give me a job. So I came to him. He was in New York. And he told me, he was very happy with me. And then I said, I have a job. He said, I'll tell you. If I could give you $5 a week, wouldn't you give me $2,500? I'd take advantage of you. So you better go and impress somebody else, because it was a terrible time.
So actually, the thing that impressed you most was that you didn't find the United States.
No.
That the streets were paved with water.
Oh, no.
You said you felt lost. Was it because you didn't have work?
No, see, when I came in, I thought I'll get a job. Well, it was an interesting story. I got a job. After he told me that, I went to my brother-in-law and said, what should I do? He said, well, get a paper. We'll see if they need a job. So they had in the paper in the corner somewhere a job at an island. So I went there. I saw a line by 50 people. Now, I never saw that in Russia. So I saw the number of the was the same, but I wouldn't go over. So I went in the back and came in the office. I knew that was the same house. And I come in, one asked me in English, what you want? So I couldn't speak English. So it was a Jewish boy. So I started to tell the Jewish, and he said, Avrino. I said, yes. What do you want? I said, I want a job. And I showed him the paper. He calls in the boss and said, here's a guy wants a job. He said, you see that people in the front? I said, sure, I saw him, but what is it for? He said, everybody. He said, you must have one job. He said, everybody will have one job. So I said, all right, all right. He said, where are you from? He's from Odessa. I said, shake hand, I'm an Odessa. He said, very much, I told him. He said, you like that too. It's a known thing. I said, what did you do? I told him what I told him. He said, well, I'll do the job.
Morrison, when you first came to Pittsburgh, what impressed you the most about this city?
Well, that is a big story.
No, just tell me that.
Pittsburgh, well, I was already, when I came in to be in 1918, and I was already 4 years in the United States. Pittsburgh impressed me, Howard Lord, I didn't like him. He was lost.
But what was it in Pittsburgh that impressed you the most when you first came here?
Well, in general, it was kind of, I think I could speak all the English. And I could, when I started to work, on a job which I liked.
So you found this more pleasing to you than New York, because you already knew the language and you got employment right away. But what was the thing that impressed you the most when you first came here?
I don't think it was some any singular thing impressed me. When you get a little more successful, you're impressed with everything. See, I had here a few cousins and a brother.
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah. And so it was, I had more relations than in New York. I didn't have more. And besides, I didn't like New York. I mean, it's too big, and whenever on a holiday, you was by yourself. And if you go out, it took you all day to get back.
Stay
in Pittsburgh. There is a story. I came to Pittsburgh and become a toolmaker. To become from an iron worker, a toolmaker, this is so cheap. You know, a toolmaker have to learn 4 years high school, and I never went to school a day in my life. And then he had to work 4 or 5 years before he can be.
Told me that you had some disappointments about employment. Was there anything else that disappointed you in those first few years?
Well, it was unemployment that time. At that time, we didn't. I used to read about people starving, and we didn't know about starving.
But you actually knew about people starving in the United States?
That time they used to give you only soup kitchens, and it wasn't the paper that people started. By the way, I'm right now, and I'm giving that to you.
Ask you a question that I know you can answer. In fact, you have answered it partly. During those first 5 years, did you feel that you were not treated justly and properly because you were an immigrant?
No, I went into many, many places in the city for my children.
But it wasn't because you were an immigrant, particularly.
I had a little trouble, but that was minor. And here, for instance, I worked in International Motor Company. A year after that he was making neck trucks. By the way, I built the first neck truck chain drive, I built it.
You had lived in the United States for 5 years, Mr. Morrison. Did you feel that you had accomplished something, or that you would in time accomplish the goals for which you came to the United States?
Well, I was about to tell you, see, 1 year I was only in Ireland, and then I left it. So that would be a good story, because this led me to my job as a toolmaker.
So that you feel that within those first 5 years you had really accomplished something, and that the reasons that made you come to the United States were fulfilled for you. You learned
Here I got it. When I was in my work, I was making, in comparing with others, I was making good money, but I was just a seasoned trainer. When came winter, see, I came here in May. When came winter, there was no work. And by the way, I was considered a good overall man, the guy laid off the company. They had 30 men, and only had two left, me and a cousin of and a brother of my father. The only two left.
And you made a fairly good living?
No, but here what happened. They didn't, when they didn't have any work, you didn't get paid. So you come in the shop, sit there for 5-6 hours, and there's nothing to do, you go home, and I got sick of it.
Here in Pittsburgh, where was your first home?
I believe it was...
Where did you live when you first came to Pittsburgh?
I think that was the biggest thing, I believe so, because at the street you go from Fifth Avenue to get to Central Avenue. Isn't that the biggest?
I think so. Did you have a room in somebody's house?
Yeah.
How long did you live there? Do you remember?
No, I lived there, but I had to leave. Then I moved to this place.
Now, I've already asked you what kind of work you did when you first came to this country.
No.
You did iron work at first, right? And that training you had had... you had learned that as a boy in Russia.
Iron work, yeah.
And you had been an apprentice, as I recall, for
three years,
then you learned metal trades and other mechanics work and so on. Now, when you first came to Pittsburgh, what kind of work were you doing?
Well, they forced me to go into industry. Well, that is a story. I have to continue that thing.
Would you repeat that? You worked
in International Motor Company in Plainfield, New Jersey.
But I would like you to tell me what you did when you first came to Pittsburgh.
Wait a minute, that will lead to it.
Please, exactly what kind of work you did when you first came to Pittsburgh.
Toolmaker at Westinghouse.
You were a toolmaker at Westinghouse. Mm-hmm. You had had some training in Plainfield and so on. Do you remember how much money you made when you first started?
78 cents an hour.
And what were your hours? Do you recall how
many hours
you worked?
It was 4 or 6 hours a week, because we were to sell. I believe so. I don't remember exactly. No, 44, because we were selling the 4 hours I had to
pay. So you did work on Saturdays?
Oh.
And on Jewish holidays, too? How long did you stay in that work?
Toolmaker. 25 years.
It's a long time. Mm-hmm. Did you belong to a trade union?
Okay. Yeah, I joined the American Federation of Labor before we even had a union. I liked the union. Yes, too, I think.
Well, that was part of your history in Europe when you belonged to the Socialist Party and to the Bund. Now, did you continue in this work all of your life, Mr. Morrison, in toolmaking and
I was a toolmaker in Westinghouse at 75 Do I retire?
If you could live that whole part of your life over again, Mr. Morrison, what kind of work would you have gone into?
I liked it.
You liked what you did. have any type of schooling at all in Pittsburgh, Mr. Morrison?
No.
None at all. How did you learn how to speak English?
Well, I learned it when I left New York. I took it that time, as much as I knew.
When did you learn to write English?
Well, just, by the way, in our line, we have to learn math and stuff like that, and I got along without learning it. I still don't know much about it. But I have the natural tendency or something.
For language?
No, for
my... Oh, you mean for that?
Oh, language, I'm not a good in English yet, I believe.
You do very well indeed, I would say. Oh. You learned how to write it about the same time that you learned to read it?
Yes, but I don't write good English yet. I write in Jewish, and what I write is closer.
I see. But you can write English.
Oh, yeah. I write almost to my children and stuff like that.
But you learned to speak English only by talking with other people. I already asked you if you went to Fader, and that you did when you were in Heschel. As a young boy, when between the ages of 6 and 13, music, Mr. Morrison?
I like music, but not the new kind of music.
Did you play any musical instruments?
No.
Did you go to any concerts?
No.
To the Yiddish theater?
I saw once or twice here in, when I was in New York, I didn't make enough money to go to theater.
Well, when you came to Pittsburgh, did you go to the Yiddish theater?
Maybe about two or three times.
Not very often.
No.
But here in Pittsburgh, you did go once or twice. Did you go to anything except the Yiddish theater?
Well, I used to go to movies.
But not to the theater.
No.
Did you go to any lectures?
Oh yeah, I then about theater, I have a daughter, she's a wonderful actress. So whenever she went, she acted, I went to see
I
playhouse and stuff like that.
Did you go to any lectures?
Oh yeah.
Where? Yeah. Where?
They used to have a forum in Shelley High. You remember Klaus and...
No, I didn't live in Pittsburgh.
I used to go to study for lecture. The more I heard it, the less I was afraid.
Did you read any Pittsburgh newspapers?
When
you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person?
No, absolutely. I'm agnostic. I believe in God. If you tell somebody I'm agnostic, you think it's an animal.
Since you were not religious, you couldn't change any of your religious practices during your first years here because you were not an observant Jew in any way. Is that correct? You didn't attend any synagogue in Pittsburgh? You never went to shul at all?
In fact, I forgot what I did in Hebrew.
Did you carry on any observances in your home? Any Jewish observances? Nothing. When you came here, did your health change in any way, Mr. Morrison?
No.
Because of the climate or the food?
No, I
see. And did you need any medical care at all when you came here to live?
For 20 years, I didn't say that.
You were a very healthy man.
I used to be a boxer. By the way, I had to do that to protect myself.
In the places where you worked?
Mm-hmm. Then I learned boxing, and I came up pretty handy.
What were the first organizations that you belonged to? I know that you didn't belong to a synagogue or a Talmud Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you belong to any Zionist group? Any socialist group?
I was disappointed with that when I was in Europe. I gave it up when I was in Europe. Because I began to see people, so they didn't know how to do it.
And you were not acceptable.
Huh?
As a Jew, you were not acceptable.
No, no, you see, the Socialist Party didn't discriminate against Jews, but see, the Socialist Party and the labor union was one the same. And when they used to come to a Jew, they didn't map them because they were the story, but they come to a court and let them go, and I felt awesome.
Well, here in the United States, particularly here in Pittsburgh, did you belong to any labor group here, or did you belong to the AFL?
That was, but I never went to the meeting, but I joined them because I believe in unions. Before we had ideas. By the way, the first union investment I was up to.
Any organization that was set up to give charity, Mr. Morrison?
No, I don't belong to
that. Did you then? You know, the sort of thing, I mean, where they'd have pushies and so on.
Well, that would be a Jewish, no.
Any one of those.
No.
Did you contribute to any charities in any other
yes,
way?
Yes. By the way, I get when you can. I have 25. I always do.
I see.
You get. I got to the 3 of them. I guess. Those are my.
But at that time, when you were a young man just living here, did you give to any charities?
That I couldn't. The children were sent to college.
Out for a good time, let's say after work of an evening or a Sunday. Where did you go for recreation with your wife?
Parks, swimming pool.
Parks and swimming pool, places that didn't cost any money, or places that were free to the public.
Yeah.
You told me that you were a boxer. Did you participate in any other kind of sports during those days?
Well, I liked sport. I used to go to turnout, which is German.
Oh, yes.
I liked sport.
In the gymnasium.
Yeah.
Did you go to any sporting events, like boxing matches or wrestling matches?
No, I used to go to boxing matches. Wrestling matches, I don't think they... Now you see them on television.
Yes.
I didn't know about them anymore.
Did it help you in any way to go to any of these events? Like if you went to the turnaround, let's say. Did it help you in any way socially? Did you meet people there and so on?
No, I didn't, but because I like that sport.
Did you know anything at that time at all about the YMCA? Did you ever go there?
No, see, we lived most of the time in Paris, and I volunteered to buy, not the YMCA, the YMCA. There I was boxing.
The YMCA?
Yeah, I was elected in Greenwood.
And
when I came to Pittsburgh, I was already too old for stuff like that.
I see now. Were there any other organizations or agencies that weren't Jewish that helped you to get along beside the YMCA?
I'm saying Turnhall was in, also when he was in the street with
the Turnberry.
Turnhall, that is a German Turnley Hall, they call it.
Turnley Hall?
Oh, yeah. They used to have Hope Jack kind of gymnasium with Turnley and stuff like that. I like.